I am amazed at how the Lord orchestrates the service. I don't know why I'm amazed, but I'm still amazed. I didn't talk to Brad just a few minutes yesterday, but it wasn't nothing about church. And Neil's been overcoming, but amazing the music and everything that everybody has said is exactly where I'm going. My title... Don't get tripped up on my title before. I'm not even going to tell you my title. Oh, it's yes, I am. But it's amazing how you hear this word and it changes your thought pattern, so don't go there. The title is A Place of Obedience. Now, it's amazing how you can tell people something to do and they don't want to do it. Well, that comes from living under the law for so much of our life. Because the word obedience there that I'm throwing out is not, I have to do. It's an amazing thing how the Lord has given us a free will. We don't realize how awesome that is, but how difficult that is sometimes, that free will. Especially when you're raising bread, commented on, when you're getting bombarded by what's going on in the world and what's going on and the fear factor that has been thrown over the world. About life in general. I mean, it's just amazing how we tend to listen to that voice so strong, and that's our problem. We sang about our promise. Neil spoke about our promise. He brought up scriptures. One of them I think I'm even going to use. He already knew me. He already knew you. Amen. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation in Psalms 139:16. It says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." I like that, the way that's written, because in other translations it says similar to the same thing. The book's already been wrote about you. Before you were even thought about. Before the foundation of the earth, he already had you written in his book of what's going to take place in your life. I'm reading a book, and it stirred me to go this direction a little bit. And the title of the book is "It's Rigged in Your Favor," and I just like that. That just it is, but. We have to be obedient to the word. Because you have a free will. I can go to hell if I want to. Now, I can't now because I've already accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and there's nothing that'll take me away from that. But there was a time when I had to make that decision, and I still feel there's a lot of people that are living religiously and have not really made a decision. But it's so... crazy that we have such a free will. And everything about my life, about your life, has already been written. And the Bible tells me that he's going to finish the work that he started. So when I said yes to Jesus, everything went into operation of what he already knew, because he's God, and he knew me before, but yet everything that's going to go on in my life, he is going to work me towards the finish line. And it's going to be accomplished. But while I'm in that window, see, Adam and Eve messed the whole thing up. Y'all recognize that. Because they chose to eat of the tree that they were told not to. And in eating of that tree, it gives them insight on good and evil. Prior to that, it was all good. Well, see, now, fast forward all these years, thousands of years, because of Jesus Christ dying for our sins and making a better way, we can live in just the good and not even deal with the evil. Because we have authority over the evil. I don't want to get into that today. But we're at a place where we've got to recognize everything is rigged for us. Everything is set up for us to go a direction in our life because I have a free will. I haven't run across a scripture in Leviticus 22, 29. It says, and when you offer a sacrifice to the Lord, offer it at your own free will. I don't have to. I don't have to read the word. I don't have to follow the word. I don't have to follow that still small voice. I can choose not to. But why wouldn't I want to be blessed? And why wouldn't I want my day tomorrow to be better? And why wouldn't I? That's no different than last week we taught about Jesus' stripes that he bore on his back and his body was for our healing. That is in the word more than once. It's a guarantee. We have got to get that revelation and know that by the stripes of Jesus, we were, not maybe. I don't care if you had COVID, get COVID, or what about COVID. I don't care, cancer, I don't care about any of it. Fact is, the word says it. But see, we've got to choose to walk in faith and believe it. We got to be at that place where we speak it. We got to be at that place where instead of talking about the problem, we talk about the promise. Why do we talk about the promise? Because that's the obedience I'm talking about. Not the right and wrong stuff that the churches have built on. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you got to wear your dress down to here. You can't do this, you can't do that. You can't go to I couldn't go to movies on Sunday. My mother decided, no, that's a day of rest. Well, that was a day of torment to me because I wanted to go to the movies. But what it did, it brought you to that place where you didn't think about the good. You thought about the stuff that you couldn't do, and you normally want to go that way. That's like when I said the word obedience, some of you went, no way, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you can do what you want to do, but do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to live in peace? Why wouldn't we? I'm as guilty as you all, so I'm talking to me too. The problem's right here between these ears. It's our thought life. But the more I get of this answer, and the more I read, and the more I meditate, and the more I was talking to the Barons is back here, and it is so true. What happened to the scripture that says, don't forsake the assembling of your people? Well, I don't want to go. I'm scared. That's not what the word says. There's a reason for the word. And the word is for us to prosper and do better. The word is, well, once a month and once every 2 months is good enough for me. Okay, if you want to live a life that's got just a small percent of what's going on. I'm a motorhead, and you all know that. Well, yesterday was kind of a day where I had things I needed to do, but I just didn't. I was in that mode. I don't want to mess with it. So I got at 9 o'clock, the 24-hour Le Mans, which is a 24-hour race nonstop, got started. I watched too many hours of it. But do you know they could only go about 45 minutes and they had to pull in and get gas? 23 pit stops. They crossed the United States, basically. They went over 3,000 miles in 24 hours and they averaged 140 miles an hour. But listen, they could not have done it until they got gas. The Corvette C8 led the first hour, but he still had to get gas. But then the hypercars, which are built, the specs on them is you put whatever you want in it. Certain things you had to do, but they would go around that Corvette like it was sitting still. But they both still had to have gas. It's the same with us. I don't have to be obedient to this. I do not have to read this. I do not have to spend time praying in the Spirit. I do not have to spend time going to church. I do not have to do any of that, and I'll just live a life. But I want to live a prosperous life, and I want to live a life where that the Lord already wrote in the book, that's where it's hard for our minds to work. Now, wait a minute. If he wrote it in the book, it's going to get done. Yes, it's going to get done. But I don't want it finished on that last year of my life or that last 6 months or that last hour of my life. I want to live a prosperous life You know, this is just but a compared to what we're going to have. But why don't we want to live and be what we're supposed to be and be ministers of the gospel and let what we have show and go forth? You know, in Ephesians 3:20, I've got it in the Passion Bible. Let me read it to you. It says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Well, why? Because he wants you to touch other people's lives and how you act and react. You know, every one of us have people that talk to us and give us their opinions. And that's we all have an opinion. That's Connie and I. That's why we got along so great, because I knew she had an opinion. Now, not at first. We had to work that out. But once we come to that revelation that she's got an opinion, I've got an opinion, and we listen to our opinions, and then we just let it go. But nowadays, it's like, if you don't believe like me, that is not God. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. I can't build the fruit of the Spirit in my life unless I know what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's being obedient to him. Didn't he tell us to keep it in your heart always? He said that for a reason. Because he knew we would need that promise to overcome the problems. And if you don't have the promise, that's like somebody comes to me and they give me a problem that's going on. Come with the answer. I don't care to hear the problem, but give me an answer to this. You come up front and get prayer, you can have the answer if you know the word. I'll just encourage you in that, and we'll both be in agreement, and it'll happen. But you got to be obedient. You can't be obedient to every thought you have. You have to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And there's a major difference in that. We don't learn the Word and get the Word in us. We're not Adam and Eve. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. We are people now that should have the Word right off the tip of our tongue or have a general idea of it. Because we come to church and we get around people and we go to Bible studies and we worship and we spend time and we pray in the Spirit to build ourselves up. We should have a sense and a knowing that he's already wrote in the book of where we're going to be going. He knows my tomorrow. He knows everything that's going to go on in our lives. So we have to be in a place where we follow that. I don't want to live in good and evil. There's too much evil. It's like it's overpowering, but it's really not. We're letting it. We're letting it affect our lives. We're listening to all this stuff. We're listening to the wrong opinions. You can hear the opinion, but you got to know your opinion. You got to stand on what you believe with the same respectful opinion. You got to respond when people get mad at you, when people cut you down, when teachers are bad to you, when things go on in your life. You got to be one that's just quiet and just responds properly. Respond according to the word. That obedience is what's going to change your life and their life. In Ephesians, there, flip back to chapter 1 if you got your Bible. I'm going to read once again. Let me help you. I know everybody's got their book, but if you're having trouble reading your Bible and making any sense out of it, get the Passion Translation. It's just like, wow, this is just everyday, makes sense. I mean, it's got so much Aramaic and stuff in it and all the stuff that sometimes there's more junk at the bottom than there is the Bible. But it's all stuff you can read and learn. Back to where I was going. 1:17-19, it says, "I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, will impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until experience of the full revelation of the hope of his calling. This is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us His Holy One. 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of those illuminous power as it works through you. Amen. I gotta know it though. I can't live like Jesus would want me to live unless I'm obedient to his word. I'm obedient to his calling. I'm obedient to that still small voice. See, he tells me what to do and how to do and the right way to do. He doesn't say, oh, you shouldn't do that, Ronnie. He doesn't do that. He gives you the word. The world and religion gets on you. The world and religion tells you, you shouldn't do, you shouldn't. That's condemnation. He only tells you the good. But see, when I learn the good, and I'm still learning the good like you are, I find that, oh, I shouldn't have reacted that way because it didn't do me any good. I should just forgive and go on. Well, why should I forgive and go on? Because you'll live a more peaceful life, because everything we sang and everything that was said up here is exactly what I'm saying. So you say, well, Pastor, I don't want to read the word. You don't have to. I'm just talking to those that want to prosper. I'm just talking to those that want to build your faith. You build your faith by the word, and the word is what builds your faith. Because I take the word, and I know what it says. I am hot and heavy after this, the one that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Why wouldn't I want to get such a revelation that nothing can come against me? Because the word says nothing can. So I want to be obedient. Well, it's not works. I know it's not works, but I've got to allow. You know, the scripture in Romans 12:2, it says that don't be conformed to the world. That's conformed is put in a mold. Conformed is that's what it's going to be. When I worked at Tyler Pipe in Texas, they made cast iron pipe and cast iron body valve bodies and stuff. They had a sand mold. And they poured the liquid into it, and it conformed to that. That's what the world's doing to us. They're conforming the world into fear. They're conforming the world into the place where you do whatever they tell you to do. I'm just whatever you jump off the cliff, I'll jump off the cliff. I want to be transformed, which is the word metamorpho, which is like a butterfly, an ugly old worm. Teddy and I went out to Randolph County Lake, and I couldn't even count the number of monarchs. And I said to Teddy, fall's coming. They all had been transformed. See, I want to be transformed. And what that scripture says in Romans 12:2 is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To take this word and to take the messages. And, I want to encourage you. If you don't come here, a lot of people's working with the young people. I understand that. But if you're not, come on Wednesday night. We have some of the best teachers that's across the nation right now. And he was talking this last week about how things are just so similar to what I'm talking about. We've got to recognize the importance of this right here and recognize I wanna be healthy. I wanna have a right attitude. I wanna be a blessing. I wanna be adjusted. Don't you hate to be around obnoxious people? Probably they're not spending much time in the Word. Because if you're in the Word, I change from the outside, from the inside out. I don't conform. I'm conformed as much as you are. I think the best thing I've ever done is I've went through a season now, a fasting of the news. The only news I hear is from other people. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, right now for me, that's what I need to do. So I'm not conformed with the craziness that seems like it's going on. But I can renew myself with this. And the more I get into this, you know, we had a message that we had Wednesday. I listened to it 3 times. I could not believe what I heard the third time compared, sitting right there the third time compared to the other two. You say, well, Pastor, why would you do that if you heard it once? Well, why would I read the word anymore? If I've read through it already, why would I read it again? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that it is alive. Just because it's ink on a page, it's alive. And it's active. And it says that this word, through my obedience of reading it and listening to it, this word, listen to me, this word will separate my emotions, will separate my thoughts and my intents. It will show me the right way to go with my life. You say, well, you're getting under law and you're making... No, I'm just telling you, if you want to do your will, if you choose to follow what he's asking you to do, he's already got it written in the book. Why not enjoy what he's got? Now, is there going to be hard times? Yeah, because his word says, in this world there will be tribulation. So I know there's going to be problems. That's already in the book. But also in the book is where he's taking me, the gifting and the calling in my life. I knew at 12 years old I was called to be a pastor. But I was never taught to follow this. And I stumbled around until I was 32 years old. Oh, I had a good life. I had great family. Everything was great. But yet something wasn't totally settled. Then at 32, it was like he whistled at me. Ronnie, you and your family, come on, you're called and you know it. And then some of the scriptures started coming back up to me, and I thought, the thing that I'd heard my mom say, the prayer and the hours she spent praying, and then all of a sudden, well, here I am. Has it been all good? No. The church is perfect until the sheep get there. But this is what we're supposed to be. This is what I'm called to do. I'm 70, going to be 71 pretty shortly. I'm getting tired. But what else would I do? And I've always said I'll probably fall over here dead. Well, now that somewhat concerns me. Because I'm getting up there now where it might happen. But I'm talking to me just like I'm talking to all of you and all of you on the internet. We have got to be obedient to his voice. We have got to be not the voice of the enemy, not being conformed. And we got to throw that off, and we got to recognize, wait a minute, there's more to this. Life is a whole lot better. Hebrews 13:7, which came up this last Wednesday, says, you know, you've been taught, and you studied, and you've heard, and you know the word. And it says at the end of it, it says, consider the outcome. Well, I want you to consider your outcome. You say, well, I don't have time. We've got to make time. See, I make time for anything I want to do. I've been working on I got a big concrete wall with 80-pound block and 600 and some brick that I'm redoing. I made time for that. And then I made time for that again Friday afternoon a little bit. Well, then Saturday, I didn't make time for that. I had a free will. I chose not to mess with it. I looked at it and I went, nah, it's humid. The race is on. I'm just going to be a couch potato today. I had the choice. Now, I come up here and I refresh myself and I spend an hour or so getting things, make sure I know where I was going. Why? Because I had a choice. And I know the Bible says I need to study and show myself approved. Come on. You say, well, that's all the time you spent? No, no, no. I spent all week. Because that's what I'm called to do, and that's what's in the book. Sometimes I think if we could... Well, we can. I was going to say, sometimes we need to read the book. Well, we can. Right here it is. I don't care what your age is. This lady over here, if you want to talk about butterflies, she can tell you everything there is about a butterfly. Her mom and dad have had to plant weeds. I always used to tell Connie, if it don't make a flower all the time, it's a weed. All around their house. What for? Because it has flowers. It has different kind of butterflies. Right? Am I right about the flowers? Have you had monarchs by your place? They're all at Randall County Lake right now. They're coming. How did she get there? I'm going to quit jabbering. How did she get there? She studied. It wasn't studying to her. It was interest. I can talk to Neil about his 57 Corvette that it took him forever and ever to get in his new garage. But we won't go into that story. I can ask you any question. Hey, Neil, you probably didn't know this. Did you know that the Biscayne 57 is 4 inches narrower than the 57 that you got? He knew it. I just found it out. How did he get that? I could go around the room. Neil, which we've got to adjust, because if he ever croaks, we're in trouble around here. Because all this techie stuff, only Neil knows what's going on. And he was coming in telling me what they're going to plan on doing this week about running some new cables and getting new this and new that. I might as well have been talking to him about fuel injection. Listen, it's not work. It's in the book. Your life is already, that's so hard for my mind to grasp. That before the foundation of the earth, he knew that Ron Coleman would be standing right here talking to you. He already knew it. So I, personally, I want to get everything I can get so I can give it to you. And it's the same, you need to get everything you can get so when somebody comes up and rips on you, you can just grin at them and just act like they didn't say it because you knew. Let's come up. Let's close out. While they're coming up, bow your heads. Father, I thank you that everybody here that has asked you into their life, their life, their gifting, their calling, their friendships, their everything that goes on in their life is already in the book. And it's all rigged. You rigged it already. You've already set it up in our favor. Our place is just to take that will that you've given us, that free will, and to choose to ask him to help us to dig in. Ask him to give us a heart to study the word. Ask him to give us a heart to go towards him. We can't do it in ourselves. That was said earlier in the service. We can't do anything on our own. But if we ask to have more of a heart for the word, if we ask to have more of a heart for you, God, you're going to give it to us. And we thank you that everybody here in the sound of my voice, life is going to change from this moment on because they're going to start pulling closer and closer in that relationship to you. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and let's close out with song.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. Brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but see. And faithful you are. And faithful forever you will be. And faithful you are. Oh yes you are. And all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. yes, you are God, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. And faithful you are, God, and faithful forever you will be. We sing, faithful you are, oh yes you are, and all your promises are yes. Is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness.
Call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be up front. About 5 minutes.